Now back to Brian Buschlack's business briefing on FM News 101.
And welcome back as we bring in our guest. We always look forward to talking to Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, welcome here on a Sunday afternoon. Hope you're having a great weekend, and it's good to talk to you again because I, you know, reached out to you this past week when I saw that story, front page Wall Street Journal. I think it was on maybe Wednesday when it talked about the inventory shortage in the housing market creating rising prices. And I remember vividly a year ago in the depths of despair in the housing market, when on this show, I'd like to go pull up that tape. You said, watch out because the builders aren't building. You know, we've got all these other issues. There will be a shortage in the housing market. And that's exactly what happened. How did you know what you knew when you did?
Well, Brian, in all fairness, I was probably talking more about a long-term effect of demand using up excess supply and that occurring before builders would start building. I think we also discussed the impact of the slowdown in the moratorium on foreclosure processing, and that obviously has had an immediate effect on supply. You know, if you look at, and again, we've talked before about the amount of excess building that occurred between 2000 and 2006.
Yes.
About 2.3 million more homes than there were household formations. And we've been working it off, and actually we've worked off a significant amount of it already. And I'll just give you some numbers here, if I may. Typically what economists look at to see if there is equilibrium in the housing market is the amount of unoccupied homes that are for sale or could be sold. Historically, that number has run between 1.5 to 1.7%, and the Freddie Mac economists typically use 1.7% as a number of unoccupied homes that could be sold, are for sale, or could be sold, as an indication that the housing market is in balance. Now, we got up to 2.9%.
Wow.
That was the high. We worked our way down to 2.1% at this time. So we are more than halfway towards a normalization or equilibrium in the housing market. When we hit the foreclosure moratorium a little over a year ago when that started and the concern over consumer rights, that slowed down a sort of a rush to foreclosure that was occurring. And it was fortuitous for the housing market on a couple fronts. One, it took off a tremendous overhang of distressed property. The second thing it did, it gave lenders a chance to realize that their balance sheets were healing and that they could take a little bit longer-term view about disposing distressed assets. Now, that's important, and I'm getting a little bit out here, but that's important because distressed homes typically sell at a significant discount to what we call equity sales or occupied homes. And that discount, to give you an example, non-distressed homes in the last year have sold about 17 to 25% below the values prior to the downturn. Now, it varies, of course, depending where you are in the country. Distressed homes have sold between 29 to 50% discount to pre-crash values. So you hear these numbers about the market's down 26%. That's actually a blended of both distressed and non-distressed homes. So using up or taking the distressed homes off the market, or the wave of distressed homes caused by foreclosure, slowing that down cut down on the amount of inventory significantly, but it also cut down on significant price depreciation, and it increased confidence and consumer willingness to step up and buy. So it's a combination of less inventory, less overhang to the market, and price stabilization. And I think what we're seeing now with lenders turning to investors to rent homes and parsing out distressed homes in a much more logical fashion, this is going to increase the likelihood that we have bottomed and that we will see price appreciation. And you and I have talked a couple times. You see news stories about prices going up or home appreciation in a marketplace, you're much more inclined to step up and buy a home. There is significant shadow demand. Is there as much shadow demand as there is shadow inventory? So I do think the market's bottomed. I don't see it appreciating greatly or too rapidly, but I think the worst is over.
Okay. That is good to hear. Patrick Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. And that leads me to a bonus question, Pat. Pop question here for you. I saw this in the Business Journal on Thursday, actually online, and Oregon's mediation law helping to have foreclosures. Now, I have a little problem with the headline because I don't know that this really helps the market. It slows down. It slows it down, and us getting through this. So obviously, this mediation has dramatically slowed down the foreclosure process in the state of Oregon, which is going to mean it takes us longer to get through it, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Brian, if we were sitting in a room full of economists, there'd be a debate going on about the advisability of slowing down a market clearing. And what you get when you slow down a market clearing and maintain a high level of debt and you maintain a high level of asset overhang, if you will, is you get that Japan effect we've talked about before on your program, and it takes a long time to turn it around. So there, you know, the idea that somehow the consumer protection laws are going to eliminate foreclosures, absolutely not. What they will do is they'll slow the process down. Now, there is a tangible real benefit to that, and that is that people are considering other ways of dealing with the problem. And there was a recent announcement, I believe, by, and I'm embarrassed here, I can't remember if it was City or Chase, they've engaged Carrington and Oaktree to approach certain underwater borrowers to see if those underwater borrowers want to rent the home. So in other words, they let them off the hook for the mortgage. They eliminate the mortgage in exchange for a rental agreement. And, you know, the investors in the marketplace are now realizing that distressed homes, or in fact, homes overall are about 19% below replacement value. So, you know, if you have a 19% discount to actual value, this is a good investment. So investors are stepping up. They're buying distressed properties at these prices because they're at a discount to replacement value. And they're renting them out knowing that they're going to get a return on their money through investment or through rentals, but they're also going to have upside appreciation over a realistic time frame.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, this would be called mark-to-market, correct?
Yeah, in a way, that's exactly what it is.
That's about time. Patrick Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. A couple of minutes till we hit the break here, Pat, and I guess the next question, this might be a no-brainer, but I'll ask it anyway. Should we be building more homes right now? Should there be some incentives for the financial institutions who are, from what I hear, making it more difficult to get construction loans? Should there be some incentive to build more homes now?
You know, I have some very dear friends that are builders, and on their behalf, I would say I hope they are gainfully employed building homes and they get lots of opportunities. But with the vacant rate of unoccupied but potentially saleable homes at 2.1%, we still have an overhang to the market.
Okay.
So we need, you know, and again, you and I have talked about this. The market is. Real estate is a market-specific asset, so there are markets in which we need to build homes. But I think overall, we are still a ways away from being in a new home market.
Okay, and we got time for one more question before we hit the break here, about 90 seconds left. And when it comes to mortgage forgiveness, we see this start to creep up and pop up in the news every 60 to 90 days about forgiving mortgage debt. I am adamantly opposed to this. I think, you know, for many reasons. How do you feel about this, and will this ever get over the hump where it becomes accepted?
I think it's going to be tough for it to get over the hump. It is difficult to apply it fairly and equitably.
Yeah.
You know, there are ways, and there were some good ideas by FHFA, you know, to use Treasury dollars to buy down principal. There are some ways to participate in upside appreciation. There are ways to do this that could be equitable, but politically, I think it's too steep a mountain to climb.
I agree, and you know the point people made with that was the Boy Scouts, the Eagle Scouts, and Girl Scouts who made their payments would be upset at the neighbor who didn't and then got the mortgage forgiveness. But quite frankly, I've heard of people who were foreclosed on early in the process and are now upset to be seeing this type of discussion saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we took it on the chin. We lost our home, and now they're going to do this. You know, that's not right. So I guess it covers both sides of the equation. Well, stay with us. More with Patrick Stone when we come back. We'll talk more on the national and the global scale about what's going on, mortgage interest rates, and so much more as our conversation continues after a quick break. You're listening to Business Briefing here on FM News 101.